So we're in this series right now of It's All About You and Me, because it was inspired by the fact that how do the people in the outside world view the church? And the research was out there, and we're not perceived the way that we were originally intended to be perceived. You see, we should be known for two things. We should be known for our vertical and our horizontal, the vertical. We should be known for being a people who are fully devoted, passionately loving God, vertical. And then we should be known for a people who are also fully passionately, fully devoted to loving everybody else. That's really it. Why do we overcomplicate it? And here's what happens is we spend our time diving into other things often at the cost of the vertical and horizontal. We get into a lot of other things, and we get into doctrinal differences and theological debates and judgmentalism, which we're great at. We get into all of that, missing the whole point of what would it look like to the world if the church was only known for its passionate love for God and for people. I mean, that is it. What would it look like? And we're here and we're like, wow, we have an image problem. But that's who we're meant to be. And so the good news is, even the early church struggled with this. If they didn't, why would throughout the scriptures, 30 plus times in the New Testament alone, there is these commands of what we are meant to be like with one another? This is how I want you to be toward one another. If they were doing those awesome, we wouldn't need to have them brought to our attention. But clearly, as humans, we struggle with things, and yet clearly in the New Testament, the church is instructed, hey, be like this toward one another. And in so doing, you reveal the vertical and the horizontal. That's what it is. And so we're doing this series right now. It's all about you and me. No, it's meant to be all about Jesus. Sorry about this. It's not all about Jesus, because it's all about Jesus in the vertical, but that should absolutely permeate through us to go that way. So there is a point throughout it. One another is a big, big deal. Now, we cannot one another without Jesus, but it's both. And so far, we're in week four. Week one, encourage one another. Encourage one another. How's that going? Who have you encouraged this week? Okay, you're doing great. Today. Anyway, it's quiet. So who have you encouraged? How is that going? What does it look like? What does it sound like? What is it like? Who have you encouraged? Who have you been encouraged by? It's great. It's really good. And it's really interesting, even within the church. You know, I've had some really, really encouraging emails this last week. That was awesome. Like, really awesome encouraging emails. Also had some anonymous letters. Which, by the way, can I let you know? When you send an anonymous note, it goes in the file. Like, I tear it up and throw it away. Just letting you know. Now, here's the problem. I still read it. Anyway, moving on. I need to learn the gift of going, no name, don't read. But I'm a human. I'm like, oh, what do you want to say? But anyway. Encourage one another. Next, carry one another's burdens. Be burden bearers. We need it. Last week, spur one another on, which basically means kick somebody in the butt. Come on now, spur them on. So here's the context. I brought it up last week. A number of years ago, I learned this really helps. There are four quadrants, like four window panes, that is defining who we are as humans, ourself. Okay? So there's the open self, what you see and what I see. What other people see, who I am and who I see I am. It's the open self, the public self, what people see and who I see. The other window pane over here is the one that is the hidden self. Only I see it. It's the me that only I can see. And I have a hidden self that nobody else sees, just me. Then there's a third quadrant down here, which I talked about last week, which was the blind spot self. It's the I cannot see it, but other people can see it in me. And I need to have those blind spots revealed. And that's to spur one another on. That's as somebody comes alongside and says, hey, Des, you need to be aware of this. And you're clearly not. Let me help. Let me spur you on because this is what I need to. Let me give you a bit of a, come on now. There's a blind spot that we all carry blind spots. And that's the blind self. That's the what other people can maybe see that I, for some reason, cannot see. And then the fourth quadrant is the unknown self, except God knows self. This is where, this is my future, who God wants me to become. It's unknown right now, unknown to people in the public, them, me, but there's a, I'm not finished yet self. Today, I'm going to talk about the hidden self. This is not going to be a fire you up message. And I love doing those. But there's a one anothering in there that the Lord wants us to really look at when it comes to the hidden self. Nobody else can see it, just me. And yeah, you even maybe believe, but I know God can see it, but I can deal with him seeing it. Maybe. But it's just me. It's a hidden self. It's a hidden self. Remember this series, this year for me, and I believe for Grace, is not about what we need to be doing. It's about who we need to be becoming. So for me, and my emphasis doesn't need to be on what I need to do. It needs to be on who do I need to become. What does that look like? What is it going to take for me to get there? So let me ask you all the really personal question that you will not be required to give the answer to in public. All right? It can stay in your hidden self. But I want you to answer it in your hidden self because it will really help as we unpack the scriptures today. Here's the question. On a scale of 1 through 10, how much do you really want to grow? Really? How much do you really want to know God more and be stronger in him? How much do you desire to grow closer, stronger, richer, deeper? How much? How much do you grow, even if that means real change? What's the desire level, as I'm asking? It's a desire level. It's a passion level. It's a, how much do you want to pursue that? How bad is it? Like, how much? So if it's a 10, you're like, it has never been, I have never been so desperate. I've never, my level of craving that has never been so high as it is right now. A 1 would be, meh. Give yourself a score and be honest. I know what the right answer is. I don't want the right answer. I want you to ask yourself genuinely the score. Now, the pessimistic personalities in here are going to go on the low side. And the lack of self-aware, optimistic people in the room are going to go on the high side. So you should know your own personality, but be honest with it. Be honest. What's that desire? Because that desire is reflected in your behavior already. So you can't say, I'm a 9, and there's no action behind that. There's no factual, active involvement, engagement in that. Just score yourself a minute. Just go there and be honest. It's okay. And there's reasons you've got that score. Okay. Now let me ask you a question that I do want you to be hands up in response to. All right? With that score, I want you to raise your hands if you are really happy with that score. Like, you're really happy with it. Like, yep, I'm happy with that score. Thanks. It leaves the rest of us. If I'm honest, I wish it was stronger. Don't be worried about that. There's ways that the Lord can make that stronger, and it's called having a deep sense of dissatisfaction. Just that might have to get lower before you do something about it. But I hope for your sake you don't let it get lower. James chapter 5. Turn to the scriptures. James chapter 5. At moments today, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me. It's uncomfortable. But hey, said it last week. When we gather as believers, so if you're a follower of Jesus right now, this place is a place where if you are comfortable, I want you to be disturbed. And if you are not a follower of Jesus and you come in here today and you feel a sense of disturbed, I want you to be comforted. Here we go. James chapter 5. Now, the book of James is awesome, and there's all kinds of arresting life challenges within it in so many different ways. It's rich, it's stunning, it's powerful. It talks about our attitude towards people, our behaviors, our language. Everything is mentioned in there. There's so much richness in this whole book, and it talks about how we engage with suffering and how we engage with joy. It's amazing. It basically calls us to look in a mirror. And that's what it does. But James chapter 5, we get towards the end. There's this summarizing section, and you read it, and you know it, and you go, interesting. So here we go. James chapter 5, verse 13. Verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil, and in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. It's awesome, yeah? Now look at this next verse. Therefore, because of all of that, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. I'm okay with that. So that you may be healed. All right, that's just flat out weird. Is the Bible saying there is a connection with my healing apart from just me and God? Is the Bible saying, hey, therefore, this healing thing, which we'll get to in a moment, there seems to be, you're implying there's a connection between me confessing this to other people, like not just God. I prefer the just me and God section if we could. Like, why can't we deal with that one? But other people, what's that about? It's unusual. What's going on? I'll tell you why it's not that unusual. It maybe is in our Western culture, but here we go. Now, this isn't talking about I have to confess my sins to somebody else to be forgiven. That's already dealt with. That's already dealt with. So here's the thing. If I, and I use this, a beautiful word, repentance. We think it's a harsh word. It's a beautiful word, teshuvah in Hebrew. It means to return to God's original intention for your life. It is a turnaround, but what am I turning around to? I'm turning around, running back to the God who loves you. And it's a repentant posture that says, me, my way, wrong. His way, right. And he makes a way because he sends his one and only son to demonstrate how much he loves you. And so much so that that son, Jesus, dies for you, taking on the punishment, the penalty of sin, making a way where there seemed to be no way. And not just dying for you, but being risen to demonstrate that eternity is here and now and forever. Way beyond even more. And that is the forgiveness of your sin. If somebody had to pay for your sin, Jesus paid for it, forgiven. And some of you struggle with that. Next week, by the way, the message is forgive one another. If you're not here next week, I'll know why. Because you all want God to forgive you, don't you? But there's a command to forgive one another. And some of you, the forgiving one another is the hardest part. It's not forgiving somebody else. It's you forgiving yourself. Next week. Anyway, so what we've got going on here is this, is that 1 John 1, chapter, verse 9 says, If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this verse is not talking about forgiveness. I don't have to confess to somebody else to be forgiven. God does the forgiving, but there seems to be implied here that there's more. So that you may be healed. This word heal is deeply connected to the word shalom, which is peace, deeply connected to wholeness. You see, you can be forgiven by Jesus, and some of you here, fact, confessing to Christ and he forgives you, your forgiveness is a fact. You are forgiven. But the problem is, some of you are forgiven, yet you don't seem to be living free. Therefore, what does James seem to be implying about the confess to one another? Well, this is the deal. I'm going to suggest that there's a forgiveness in walking in Christ, but we are then forgiven and we are saved, and that's not the destination. That is the starting point of my eternity. The reality is now I am adopted into his family, part of his body and his community, and now I get to walk this life of restoration, of wholeness, of walking forward and growing, and that is only possible with other members of the family of God. You cannot be a fully devoted follower of Jesus and not be planted in the house of the Lord. Fact. You're part of his family, and we need each other. And now this is saying, hey, there's something to do with confessing and praying for one another that leads you to a restoration and a unity, and you need accountability with all of that. We were singing this morning, song number one, come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of his love. And some of you are like, yeah. So come on then. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of his love. And where is his fullness experienced? It says in his presence there is fullness of joy. Where do we encounter his presence? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So there is something here deeply connected with his body, community, together, deeply connected. I love that line, come out of the dark just as you are. This is a cliche Christian phrase, and it's real. The phrase is this: you can come to God and God loves you just the way you are. But he loves you too much for you to stay that way. So you can come as you are. You can confess to one another just as you are. But the purpose for that confessing is a desire to grow. What's that desire? A desire to not stay there. Because even though I'm forgiven, I'm still not fully alive. There's a fullness, something more that we can encounter and we can experience moving forward. So Ephesians 5:19-21, we don't have to turn to it because of time. It talks about things together. Hey, when you gather, sing together, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing your hearts to God together. Why? Because it's cool? No, because it is, in the spiritual realm, breakthrough bringing. But then it goes on to then say, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Therefore, let me translate, out of reverence for God, loving God, living for God, I'm commanded to submit to one another. That word submit is connected to the word in our modern language, accountability. Be accountable to. Now, it's not a lording over, it's a, there is something here that can bring life when you submit to one another. Now, what does that look like? The purpose of confess to one another is this. It's for my growth. The purpose is that I step into the fullness. And I don't just confess to somebody else. I then pray for each other. And those two things going together bring about a transformation. Wasn't it Jesus who said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm right there. No, I prefer the just me and you, Jesus, if that's all right. Can we just, he's like, no, there's more. There's more. So one another, this is what I want you to do. Why do I need to share with somebody else something I'm struggling with? God, are you not big enough for that? Oh, he's big enough to forgive you, but you're not designed to be that way. There is something, it's not just about you. It's about you and me. That's what it's about. So what does it look like? I need to tell you this right now. The last thing you should do is start sharing your struggles with everybody. Can I make this really clear right now? It's not, oh, I'm supposed to come and confess my sin and whoever I'm sat with today, I need to just go and tell them all. No, that would not be a good idea. I'm not being harsh here, but some of you cannot be trusted. I'm not going to share it. And some of you cannot handle the truth. It's okay. But let me share this with you really powerfully. It is quite clear that you need people in your life that you can confess to. You can go alongside and say, I so desire to grow. Help me out. Let me share this with you, that a struggle, a concern, a sin. Here's what I see all the time. And here's the encouragement. I see people fully following Jesus, then cooling down and breaking and falling and coming back to Jesus and cooling down and breaking and falling and coming back to Jesus. And anybody relate to that kind of a story? You don't have to put your hand up, it's okay. So you've got this cycle for some of you of, it's a cycle of sin. A cycle of going great, not going. There's a cycle. There's a what's causing you to not just keep going like this, but to like, Here's the good news. Romans 7, the Apostle Paul describes that cycle. He says, this is what I find out, guys. I realize the very things I want to do, I don't do. And the very things I hate doing, I find myself doing. So what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I do do. And so when I do want to do what I want to do, but I don't want to do what I don't want to do, I find myself doing what I don't want to do more than I should do what I want to do. What a wretched man I am. That's Romans 7, word for word, pretty much. Okay? So he says, what a wretched man I am. Help me out. Now, he talks about that because there is this spirit and the flesh at war. They're at war. And there's a reality to that. It's like, oh, help me out, help me out. Now, if he just stopped there, he'd be like, oh, great. We're going to be in this endless cycle till we die. Now, he doesn't stop in Romans 7. He goes to 8, which is an awesome chapter, and I'll mention it later on. There is a breakout of that, a breakthrough from that, but it's deeply 100% connected to you with others. Accountability, walking with somebody else is critical. What does that look like? Many of you know I shared last week, I went away for a retreat for a few days this week, Monday through Thursday, and I hadn't done it for like 6 years. And within 24 hours, I was thinking, you loser. You've been missing out so much. Like I knew, it was like, wow, this is ridiculous and incredible. And some of you maybe find it easier than others, but some of our personalities don't do well all by ourselves all the time with nobody and nothing. And but there is something deeply beautiful when you have nothing but just you and Jesus. And you go, okay, what do I need to know? And so it's incredible. And it's always life-defining and life-changing, and there's been some awesome things. I needed 3 more days, but that's by the by. So everything's good. One of the things that coming out of it was I started to create what I've called a breakthrough list. Things that I need breakthrough in. Things that I need the Lord to break through and people in my world to help me break through because I cannot by myself. And I put it into 3 categories of people, which is relationships, people things, purpose things, which is calling and ministry and all of life, purpose, people, purpose, and provision, like the impossible. And I'm writing this list and it'll be ongoing. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to share that breakthrough list with you ever. Ever. I'm not. Why? It's because you're scared. It'll be unwise. but I have to share it with some people. Have to. Or I'm not going to get breakthrough. I have to. I have to share it with some people. And that's not just my wife. I have to share some of it with some guys. Or I'm not going to get breakthrough. Because I have to hold myself accountable. Because if I really want to grow, then I should allow people to spur me on. If I really want to grow, I should allow people to help carry me with those burdens. If I really want to grow, I should allow people to encourage me. But what it causes is I want to be able to be with people and go, hey, share with me, what's the deal? Because I want to spur you on, and I want to help carry your burdens, and I want to encourage you, because I am commanded to love God with everything and my neighbor as myself. What does that look like? So the question for you is, who do you have in your life who you can confess to one another? Sin, struggle, need for breakthrough, failures, regret, hopes, dreams, aspirations, some things that people will look at you and go, oh, you're out of your mind. And I could go, I think I am, but I think it's a God mind. So there's certain things. So the practical of this text is it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. We'll get to it now. So that you may be healed. Restoration. There's a breakthrough. So I'm going to command some of you right now, stop being so private in your you and Jesus life. Who are you commanded to confess to? Who is that? And if you do not know anybody at all, then that is something that today you come out for prayer for and you cry out to the Lord for who to reach out to. But what if they reject me? They're a follower of Christ. They're commanded not to reject you. They're commanded to pray with you. Yeah, but come out of the dark just as you are into the fullness of his love. Or just work it out, just you and Jesus, and see how that goes. And it will go, but it will never fully get to the fullness, because if it did, Jesus wouldn't have said, this is how I want you to live. It's powerful. And not only that, when we confess to one another, it's not just me offloading, it's me being there for someone to offload too. So stop being so selfish in your struggle. Have you thought about it that way? Because somebody else needs it. So you may have to take the first step because they want to. They go, oh, so thankful, thanks. You too? Okay. Let's walk this together. Are you feeling comfortable? All right. So confess and pray for. Here's why it says this. When we're sharing, the purpose isn't to beat you down. The purpose is to build one another up. Healing, it says, so that you may be crushed, so that you may feel like a worm. No, it's so that you can experience fullness and restoration. Now, we're not breaking these ones down over future weeks, but it said in the scriptures, be devoted to one another. So here's the context of confess to. It says, be compassionate to one another. Okay, you can remind them what you're going to share. I'm going to share with you right now. The Bible says, be compassionate. The Bible says, be devoted. The Bible says, strengthen one another. So I'm coming to you. Then it says something beautiful. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. It's a big deal. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. I cannot think of a more beautifully dressed humility than to go towards somebody and say, hey, help me out. I believe I crave growing in Christ so much. Let me share this with you because I want you to pray with me. We want to move on. There's no more beautiful posture of humility than going, help me out. So you're commanded to clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. I mean, again, in all my years of being in church and hearing messages, I'm like, wow. We seem to spend so much time on other things that we can all go amen, hallelujah to, which is good. But he craves for us to go from strength to strength, grace to grace, glory to glory. He craves for us to grow in him and with him and for him. He craves to preach the kingdom of God, not just salvation. We are saved and called according to his purpose. There's so much more, and this is where we need to go and to be together. So pray for each other. You think, yeah, great. So when you pray to the Lord, you pray because you trust in him, don't you? Because you trust, because you know he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, my warrior, my king, my protector, my provider, my ruler. He's my everything. He loves me. He's incredible. It's like, yes, I have confidence to approach the throne of grace now because of what he's done for me. I trust in him wholeheartedly. And he responds and says, so what about with somebody else as well? Because where two or three agree on earth, heaven hears it more. It seems to imply that, yeah. Wherever two or three gather in my name, I'm with you. There is something about that trust in him needs to be seen somewhere. Let your light shine before men. What does that look like? A people need to see another people who look how they live with each other. And then he says, confess. I can confess to the Lord, and we should. And there's things that I need to take myself and all that I am and go before the Lord and seek his forgiveness. And he's faithful and just and will forgive me. And it's beautiful. But then he says, hey, but there's more. Confess to one another. So Romans 7, we said, Paul, what I want to do, I don't want to do, and the very things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. He then goes into Romans 8. Let me just read some scripture for a minute. The word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. If you hear nothing today, all my words, you don't like it, then okay, let me give you what the Bible says exactly, and I won't add to it. Okay? So let me just read some scripture. We've heard Romans 7, Paul with this wrestle. He doesn't stop there. Romans 8. Let me read a couple of verses from Romans 8. I wish I could read the whole chapter. No time. And then I'm going to jump to Romans 12. And here in the context of this community, what this says. Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. I want that just to settle down into your soul. No condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, he doesn't condemn me. Some of you, fear is the big deal with this particular one another. And the enemy wants to keep you there. There is a breakthrough on the other side for all of our lives. And that breakthrough involves one another. Some of the breakthroughs in my life that I wrote down broke my heart. Things in my life were so arresting that it crushed me. And I said, but God, I have no idea how that is going to change. It was just, And I still don't know. But I'm going to need, and I've already shared it with my wife, and she's no idea how it's going to change. What does that look like? I'll tell you, some of the things that I crave breakthrough for, I put a price tag on them. And it was six figures. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. What does it look like to crave something that you feel in the very bones of you? So I'll just be vulnerable with you. I shared with my wife on, I think it was Friday, I can't remember right now. It was Friday or Saturday. I shared something with her, a deep wound that this is the first time she's ever heard it. Been married for 26 years. Now she's seen it. But I need a breakthrough in it. What does that look like? What does it look like? But you know what caused me to share it? 1 hour away, I had time for Jesus to go, Des, what's with all the self-condemnation? Get over it. What's that about? Come on. And I was like, that's how I need to be spoken to, by the way. I'm that kind of a guy. Get on with it. Get over it. Okay? You've heard me say it before. I love the word sumo. A sumo wrestler is this oversized person who pushes another oversized person out of a circle. But I break the word sumo, S-U-M-O, and so all too often in my life it helps me. S-U-M-O. Shut up, move on. And now, and for some of you that's a bit too harsh, I understand. But for some of us personality types, that's how I have to hear it. And it quite literally was moments in my week when God would say to me, Des, sumo, shut up, move on. With me, in me, are you prepared to do this? If you want this breakthrough, you're going to have to stop whining about it and move on. So anyway, moving on. That's not even my notes. What am I doing? Romans 12. There's not the beginning of Romans 12, you know, therefore in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves living sacrifices. That's all awesome. Let me get to verse 9 of Romans 12. You don't have to turn to it. You can just listen. It's okay. Love must be sincere. Am I a fake? Moving on. Here it says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That's one of my life verses. Because I know my personality, for some reason, God has planted in me the word passion. And people say, once you lose your passion, Des, you're over. That's all you've got. No more gifts, you just got passion. And so it's like, that's my verse. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Keep it. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. That is so loaded, so rich, so incredible. Tell me how I can do any of those things, just me and Jesus. None of them. None of them. I need to get into a situation where my hidden self comes out of the dark, just as I am, into the fullness of his love. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. Vertical is always connected to the horizontal. So I ask you again, who do you have in your life? It may be only one person. And for some of the men, can I just say, I really believe this. It needs to be another person in addition to your wife. Not that your wife's not sufficient. She's more than sufficient already. But there is something, guys, that we need to. I can't speak for you girls because I'm not a girl. Maybe you girls need somebody, not your husband. Well, yeah, because they'll probably listen. That was a self-confession. Anyway, moving on. But what does it look like? All throughout the scriptures, the one another's and the mentoring and the discipling and the encouragement. It's a big deal. It's powerful. It's powerful. Two are better than one. cord of three strands is not quickly broken. How much do we need? But we can believe it and we can say it, but what about your experience in it? Right now, this is a weird one. I believe some of you need to get your phone out and text somebody and say, can we get coffee this week? Like I'm saying, if that's you've got somebody in your mind you need to go do that with, and you're like, whew, well, I have to ask them now, because I think you'll bail out if you don't do it now. Some of you, yeah, but what if they don't want to be the person that I share it with? Get over it, shut up, move on. It's okay. Some of you need to text that person right now. But I don't know. Come on now. What's the worst thing that could happen? You stay just as you are. That's the worst thing that could happen. So I'm saying, if you get your phone out when I'm preaching, and it's not the Bible app, which obviously that's all you ever use when I'm preaching. I'm saying, get that out and text that person. Say, hey, can we meet this week? Or whenever you can meet. Can we just meet? No, but what if they're in the room right now? They'll know what it's about. How much do you want to grow? What's your score? How can we move it to the right? Super comfortable in here today, isn't it? But I hope super exciting. So, you know, I'm not going to say anything more. I just feel like, whatever, I've said enough. Let me just lean into this. Romans 10, verse 9. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's the starting point of all of this. And for some of you, today is a day of just that. You've been faking it as a believer. You've been living off the back of somebody else's faith. And you need for you, between you and your Creator, to go, I need to confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, my ruler, my king, and I need to live his way. And I need to say sorry for me and thank you for him. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Not that Jesus came and just died, which is awesome, but God raised him from the dead because the power of the resurrection is what transforms lives. That's what changed the world. The cross didn't change the world. The empty tomb changed the world. Okay? Now, not to diminish the cross, I'm just saying, you had to have one to have the other. But that's the big deal. Then you'll be saved. And just a wholeness and a forgiveness journey to be encountered. So if today that is you, come out of the dark into the light. In your pew racks, there's those orange connect cards. There's even a box you can check about accepting Jesus. You can check that. But during this last song and at the end of the service, I want, for some of you, this breakthrough of you need prayer today. Pray for one another. You need prayer today. Oh, by the way, we have a monthly prayer gathering in Lamb Chapel, 6:30, the second Thursday of every month, but not this month, because the second Thursday is this Thursday. And this Thursday's Valentine's Day, and I'm not being told that. Anyway, so we're going to do the prayer meeting in February on the 21st, all right? We're going to do it on the 21st. So not this Thursday, the 21st. For those of you who come to it, positively gossip how awesome our prayer gatherings are. I lead them, but we pray. And it's a big deal. And it's awesome. So February 21st will be our next monthly prayer gathering in Lamb Chapel. And it's great. And there's a lot of people. And it's great. But not this Thursday, next. Pray for each other. So that's what we'll do. But today, we're here down front every week for you to pray. For some of you, you need a breakthrough. You need a breakthrough. Come. And just say, can you help me? I need a breakthrough. It doesn't mean you have to share with that prayer person the details, but you can if you want. You can if you want to. They're there for you. For some of you, you need to, for someone to agree on earth for the boldness and the courage that you will go and live life according to how God wants us to live life. For some of you, that orange card of I need to fully surrender and confess my life and be all in with Jesus and accept him fully as my Lord and my Savior. Get that orange card, come out. Those prayer partners will stand with you and pray with you that you can together receive his forgiveness and his hope and his healing and his salvation. That's what we do, is who we are. Okay, that's what we do in all of this together. Yeah, I need to stop. We're going to sing, So Will I. So Will I. We're going to sing that. We're going to sing, if the stars were made to worship, so will I. What does loving God look like? It means loving him and loving others. What does it mean? All these things are all connected to how much do you want to grow. This is the DNA of the kingdom of God. So will I. Really, so will I. It's a beautiful song. It's incredible. Really, it's a surrendering, awesome, compelling, move on song. So on a scale of 1 through 10, how much do you want to grow? How desperate do you desire him more than ever before? How much do you want your life, in every sphere of your life, to be more alive than it's ever been? You're still here. God's not finished with you yet. Then chase, pursue all that he has for you. His arms are always wide open, because therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Prayer partners can come out. And I get it, sometimes you kind of pray and the music's loud and it's all good, but it's after the service as well ongoing. I'm always out on the porch every week. We are as pastors and we're just here. And don't forget to get engaged and serve, by the way. Sign up to engage and serve. You're called to serve him. I need to be quiet. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for my brothers and my sisters here, Lord. You've called us here for such a time as this to be part in your kingdom, of seeing your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that may we all crave to desire to grow stronger and in you, recognizing that you say there is something supernatural, mysterious about confessing to one another, praying for one another, that we may be healed, fully alive, whole, set free, restored into all you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, sing, let's go.